He looked down at the entourage moving into place below him, and his smile widened into a death's head grin. Someone was going to die soon. St. John stopped his flyer before the tower's main entrance, directly below Finley, and was preparing to begin his speech. All Finley had to do was draw his gun and shoot the little toad through the head. Except, of course, that would have been far too easy. Finley Campbell had a reputation to uphold. And he liked to get his hands dirty. A flick of his hand was all it took to send his rope darting down the side of the tower till it hung unsuspected over St. John's head. It had the same elusive qualities as his chameleon suit, and was for all intents and purposes invisible, even to security systems. Finley eased himself out of his concealing niche, clinging tightly to his rope, and leaned out over the long drop. He paused, savoring the moment, and then pushed himself away from the side of the tower, sliding down the rope with gathering speed. Leather gloves protected his hands from the growing friction. Wisps of heated smoke escaped between his fingers as he hurtled down, but he waited till the very last moment to clasp his hand shut, slowing his descent. He freed one hand and drew the dagger from his belt. At the last moment, St. John must have heard or sensed something. He looked up, and it was the simplest thing in the world for Finley to let go of the rope, drop down, and stab St. John neatly through the eye. The Lord convulsed, his arms flying wide, but he was already dead. Finley's feet hit the deck of the flyer hard, his leg muscles absorbing the impact. He jerked the dagger out of St. John's ruined eye in a gush of blood, and the Lord slumped bonelessly to the deck, twitching and shuddering. The flyer was still rocking sickly from the impact of Finley's sudden arrival, and the handful of guards on the flyer with St. John were too busy trying to regain their balance to put up much of a defense when Finley tore into them with his sword and his dagger and his death's head grin. He swung his sword in short chopping arcs, doing the most damage possible without risking the blade getting caught in flesh or clothing. He laughed breathlessly, cutting down the disoriented guards with brutal professionalism. And if sometimes their blades came too close for comfort, he didn't give a damn. He was in his element, doing what he was born to do, and loving it. His sword slammed into a guard's gut and out again in a flurry of blood, and the blade rose quickly to parry a blow from another guard that would have taken his head off. Finley was glad someone was making a fight of it. He threw himself at the guard, and for a moment they stood head to head, neither giving ground. And then, something in the guard's eyes gave him away, and Finley flung himself to one side, just as the other guard behind him lunged forward. Finley laughed nastily as the other guard ran through his previous opponent. Finley cut the man down from behind while his sword was still trapped in his comrade's body. There were only three guards left now, and Finley disposed of them quickly. He didn't have the time to savor it. He ran the last guard through with a flourish, jerked the sword out in a welter of blood, and looked about him, taking in the situation. He wasn't even breathing hard. Only a few minutes had passed since he'd struck St. John down, and outside the flyer, most of the Dead Lord security people were still trying to figure out some way of getting into the flyer so they could get at his assassin. The four shields were still keeping everyone well back, as they'd been designed to, and as yet it hadn't occurred to any of them to try climbing Tower Silvestri as Finley had. One poor fool fired his disruptor at the flyer, and they all had to duck and dodge as the energy beam ricocheted back. Someone with his wits about him was yelling for extra flyers, and Finley took that as a sign it was time for him to leave. He moved quickly over to the flyer's controls, stepping carefully over the bodies, and lifted the flyer up into the air. A quick glance around showed him more flyers approaching at speed from the south, and he sent his flyer weaving quickly in and out of the pastel towers, accelerating rapidly to a speed his pursuers would be hard-pressed to match if they had any sense of self-preservation. He laughed aloud and stamped his feet on the deck for the simple pleasure of hearing his boots squelch in the pooled blood of his enemies. He'd done it again, made the kill that everyone said was impossible, and got away with it. He'd shake off the flyers behind him and make his escape. He always did. He glanced back at the dead Lord William St. John, lying very still with a surprised look on his bloody face, and Finley laughed again. It sounded loud and confident. And if it was a crazy kind of laugh, too, well, Finley could live with that. Adrienne Campbell, wife of Finley, once the scourge of polite company and owner of the biggest, loudest, and foulest mouth in all society, sat fuming before her blank view screen and wondered whom to call next. She tried practically everyone she could think of, including some she would have sworn she wasn't talking to, But no one would talk to her. Some made excuses, some were rude, but most just instructed their servants to say that they were not at home, the liars. Adrienne had fallen from grace when the Campbell clan went down in flames, and she was taking it hard. She was now banned and ostracized from the very society she once dominated through the sheer strength of her personality. But that was when she had the power and position of Clan Campbell behind her. Now she was just one of the very few survivors of a broken clan, and isolated as she'd never been before. All were afraid that what happened to her might be catching. Her cousin by marriage, Robert Campbell, had been protected from the fall by his position in the military. The fleet looked after its own. It was only through his influence and protection that Adrienne had survived the vendetta pursued so viciously and methodically by the triumphant Wolf family. Blood had flowed in the streets, with no one to answer the begging and the screams. But she had been left strictly alone, as long as she didn't interfere. So she hardened her heart and locked her door, and didn't answer the desperate knocking that came again and again. They begged and threatened and called her name, and some of them cried. But she sat as far away from the door as she could, with her hands over her ears. It didn't help. She could still hear when the wolves came to drag the screaming voices away. Sometimes they stopped screaming suddenly, and the silence that followed was worse. Finally, the voices stopped coming, and no one knocked at her door anymore. Adrienne Campbell was alone. The wolves now owned everything the Campbells had, leaving her nothing but a few scraps of personal jewelry. Her credit rating had been revoked. A few very minor Campbell cousins escaped the bloodbath, usually because they had connections or protection, like Robert, but they wanted nothing to do with her. She didn't blame them. The reign of the House of Campbell was over, in every way that mattered. Adrienne was of average height and a little less than average weight. Nothing like fear and desperation to back up a restricted diet. She'd lost pounds in the past few months she would have sworn would be with her till the day she died. She couldn't go out to buy food or even order it through her view screen. She had no money. She was dependent on Robert for everything now, and he had his own problems. He still did what he could, bless him, when he could. And whereas previously she'd proudly worn the latest and most garish outfits society had ever seen outside of her husband, she now made do with a wrinkled housecoat of plain, subdued colors. She'd had to leave her wardrobe behind when she fled for her life. She didn't really miss her clothes. She'd worn most of them only to annoy and upstage her fashion-obsessed husband. But it was the principle of the thing. She couldn't bear to think she looked boring. Robert provided her with clothes now, when he thought of it, just as he'd provided this bolt hole. Like most men, he had no taste at all. She scowled at her reflection in the view screen. Adrienne had a sharp face, all planes and sudden angles, her scarlet mouth currently compressed into a flat, angry line. She had dark, determined eyes, and a ridiculously turned-up nose that had seemed like a good idea at the time. She still had her great mop of curling golden hair, though it looked more than a little distressed at the moment. All in all, she'd looked better. She sighed and leaned back in her chair. She was too tired and dispirited even to stay angry for long. How far had she fallen to end up here like this? A bedraggled wreck in a dingy apartment, trying to wheedle invitations and support from boring acquaintances and lesser families she would have disdained only a few months previously. Not that Adrienne was a snob. It had always been a point of pride with her that she despised everyone equally. Now here she was, trying to improve her position by playing politics with the only card she had left, Finley. He'd managed to disappear very thoroughly, which surprised Adrienne. The Finley she'd known had never been that good at anything. Still, a lot of people wanted him, for reasons they mostly preferred not to discuss, and thought perhaps they could get to him through her, either through bribes or threats. Adrienne knew nothing, but took their money anyway, and spun them out as long as she could with hints and promises before they finally wised up. She ignored the threats. Robert and his friends in the military were protecting her, and everyone knew it. No one was ready to go head-to-head with the fleet over knowledge they weren't even sure she had. The fleet had a long memory for insults, and it bore grudges. So Adrienne played her little games, a small fish in a big pond, and tried to avoid being eaten by the sharks. She assumed she was currently ahead of the game. She was still alive, after all, if you called this living. She glared at her reflection in the view screen. She'd spent a lot of time with her thoughts lately, and had come to the uncomfortable conclusion that she didn't like herself much. She was too busy being negative about everything to be positive about anything, even herself. But she knew she was right about this one thing. Adrienne had built her personality quite carefully and deliberately, being hard and harsh and uncompromising, because that was the only way she knew to get things done. Being soft just got you hurt, or even killed. High society had always believed in the survival of the fittest. Besides, she'd enjoyed being rude and obnoxious and loud, if only because she was so very good at it. But all her strength and all her hardness and all her clever, vicious words hadn't been enough to save her when the House of Campbell fell. Her children were safe, at least, in a military school. Not quite the future she'd intended for them, but a safe haven nonetheless. Robert had arranged it for her. Strange to think that that young man with the naive background and the vague smile was now the Campbell, head of the family. There was no one else with a better claim but Finley, and he had given up all claims to power and position when he chose to disappear into the underground. Now only a few very minor cousins remained with any legitimate claim to the title, and they were mostly still in hiding, keeping their heads well down till the storm passed and the waters calmed. The rest were mostly dead or missing and presumed dead. A few had married hastily into lesser houses, giving up their name in return for protection. Some of those had gone missing, too. The wolves had a long reach and endless malice. Adrienne knew that if she had any pride, she should give up on society, as it had given up on her. But she couldn't. It was all she knew. They had to take her back. She was one of them. She might have verbally attacked society on occasion, but she was lost outside it. All she knew was how to be an aristocrat and play the game. Which was why she'd been reduced to making more and more desperate calls to fringe elements, lesser houses, and those personalities who lived on the edge of events for whatever crumbs they could pick up from the greater players. Renowned for taste and repartee and knowing all the latest gossip, they passed in and out of fashion, according to a season's taste or whim. But one figure was always there, raising laughter and eyebrows with barbed bon mot and the perfect put-down. Chantel. Not so much a friend, more an honored rival, but Adrienne had known her for years. Chantel had no aristocratic blood or political power, but somehow still commanded everyone's attention at those soirées she deigned to attend. She decided fashion, chic, and everything else that mattered with a gorgeous smile or a flared nostril, and never gave a pretender an even break. You could break fingernails on her charm, but she never forgave a slight. She and Adrienne had always had a lot in common, including several ex-lovers who kept their mouths firmly shut on certain matters if they knew what was good for them. If Adrienne could get Chantel's backing, no one would dare insult her or refuse to take her calls. If Chantel accepted you, so did society. If society knew what was good for it. Adrienne braced herself and made the call. There was always the chance Chantel would see her own possible future in Adrienne's fall and feel sympathetic. Adrienne jumped despite herself as the viewscreen cleared to show Chantel's frowning face.
I wondered when you'd get around to me. Yes, I do know why you're calling, and though I can't help you. You are out, Adrienne, dear. So far out, I can't even see you from where I am, and nothing short of a major miracle or direct divine intervention will get you back in. Your clan is scattered, your influence broken, and your credit rating has sunk so low you'd need an earth mover to find it. Personally, I don't think it could have happened to a more deserving person. You were never really one of us, Adrienne, with your big mouth and bullying ways. You never understood decorum or proper behavior, the right way of doing things. You aspired to be a scandal, but truth be told, you're always too boring for that. If I were you, I'd run to your friends for protection. But then, you don't have any friends, do you? Goodbye, Adrienne. Don't call this number again.
Chantel's face disappeared from the view screen.
Goodbye, Chantel,
said Adrienne.
I do hope you have dysentery soon.
She was debating whether to call Chantel again, just to remind her that her choices in dress had always inspired projectile vomiting in anyone with a smattering of taste, when her view screen chimed, alerting her of an incoming call. For a moment, Adrienne just sat there. No one had called her since she arrived here. Not least because most people weren't supposed to know where she was, and those who did were careful to contact her only in person. Adrienne drew herself up and accepted the call. Maybe she'd won the lottery. The view screen cleared to show Lord Gregor Schreck, head of Clan Schreck, a short, fat butterball of a man with a bulging, fleshy face and deep-set eyes. The Schreck was one of the most dangerous men in society, mostly because he never cared what his actions cost him, as long as he got what he wanted.
Dear Adrienne,
Gregor's voice oozed a charm that didn't reach his eyes.
I have a proposition for you. A little give and take to our mutual advantage. Are you interested?
Depends.
It didn't do to get chummy with Gregor. He took advantage.
What do you want from me? As if I didn't know.
You never liked him, Adrienne, even if he was your husband. And you really haven't got anything else to bargain with that anyone wants. You don't have to do anything difficult. Just contact Finley and persuade him to emerge from the underground at an agreed time and place so we can be waiting for him. We'll take him away, and you can return to society as though nothing had ever happened.
You don't have that much influence.
I will have, once I have Finley.
What makes him so important?
You don't need to know, dear.
What will happen to him?
What do you care? I'd suggest you make good use of this offer while it still stands. Finley is currently very hot, and a lot of people want him. He's just killed Lord William St. John, and has made a rather amazing escape.
Wait a minute. Hold everything. Finley's killed someone?
Yes. I wouldn't have believed it myself if I hadn't seen the holo recordings. He's really quite an excellent swordsman. I can only assume he's been taking lessons in the underground. But not to worry, I'll have more than enough men standing by to handle him.
St. John's dead? The Empress's own personal attack dog?
Adrienne shrugged.
Can't say I ever liked the man. Thought he was God's gift to women, and he had clammy hands. I had to hit him around the ear with a candlestick once.
That's as may be, Adrienne. Will you help us, or do I have to apply a little pressure? You have two very lovely children. Quite charming. Be a shame if anything were to happen to them.
You touch my babies, and I'll rip your balls off with my bare hands.
Gregor continued as though she hadn't spoken.
Robert isn't the only one with friends in the military. Think about it, and call me when you've made your decision. Don't take too long. If all else fails, I might decide to do terrible things to you, in the hope Finley would come to rescue you. Rather a distant hope, I'll admit. But we could do all kinds of interesting and inventive things to you while we were waiting for your husband to show up.
I'd smirk you right in the mouth, Schreck, if I wasn't afraid of catching something disgusting from you. Now remove your loathsome presence from my view screen. My neighbors will think I've got a toilet overflowing in here. If I change my mind, I'll contact you. But don't hold your breath.
Adrienne hit the off switch, and a sudden echoing silence filled the room. She stretched slowly to get the tensions out of her body. She must be losing her touch. She should have been able to handle a creep like the Schreck. There was a time she could goad a man into an impotent homicidal fury with just a few well-placed barbs. But this time, Gregor held all the major cards, and he knew it. Worst of all, she was considering his offer. Finley had never meant much to her, and she couldn't risk anything happening to her children. Robert had sworn he'd protect them, But when all was said and done, he was only a junior officer in the fleet. And if Finley really was going around killing people... She bit her lip. If she allied herself with the Shrek, and Robert found out... Robert had been due to marry the Shrek's niece, Letitia, in an arranged marriage. They'd almost completed their wedding vows when Gregor killed her, rather than have her dishonor him. He'd strangled her with his bare hands while the Campbells held Robert back. He'd never forgiven the Shrek for that. Adrienne's scowl deepened. If she was going to do this, Robert must never know. Which meant she'd have to shake off the people Robert had protecting her before she could start making arrangements to contact the underground. She'd be putting herself at risk. Gregor wouldn't be the only one to think of using her as bait in a trap to catch Finley. Not that he'd come anyway, the bastard. Finley had never made any secret of his feelings, or rather lack of them, for her. They had absolutely nothing in common except the children, and on the few occasions they absolutely had to meet, they could hardly exchange a dozen words without sniping at each other. After a dozen words, they tended to escalate rapidly to shouting invectives and throwing things. It had been an arranged marriage, of course. Neither of them had had any say in the matter. Personally, she'd always thought Finley was mentally disturbed, with his obsession over clothes and fashions, and his recent exploits only seemed to confirm that. But would he really stand by and do nothing while his wife was tortured to death? Would she, if the situation was reversed? Well, yes, probably. Adrienne had always known she was a hard bitch at heart. But Finley had put his own life at risk to save hers when she was mortally wounded during the wolf hostile takeover. If he hadn't got her to the regeneration machine in time, she would have died. She could still feel the sword punching through her belly and out her back. Sometimes she dreamed about lying helpless on the gravity sled's deck, awash in her own blood, while Finley strove desperately to shake off the pursuing wolf craft. She woke, drenched in sweat, and couldn't sleep again until the morning brought comforting light. Finley had saved her life when he didn't have to. But, typical of the man, he had to do it in a way that insulted and humiliated her. She hadn't known about Evangeline Shrek then. She'd known there was someone in his life, some other woman who mattered to him in a way she never had. But she hadn't known who till she woke up in the regeneration machine in Evangeline's apartment in Tower Shrek. Robert and his people were standing guard over her, but Finley and Evangeline were long gone. Robert had got her to safety. Evangeline finally resurfaced, free of guilt or any connection to Finley, and returned to her apartment. But Adrienne had never found the courage to call her. Adrienne sighed and looked around her at her cramped quarters. It had started out life as Robert's bachelor pad, somewhere for him to crash and burn on his infrequent leaves, and hadn't improved since. It might almost be worth making a deal with Gregor just to get out of this dump. She'd had jacuzzis that were bigger, and it was strictly masculine territory, with no frills or fancies or real comforts. She itched to transform the place according to her tastes, but one, she didn't have the money, and two, Robert would have a fit. He actually liked it this way. Men. Probably washed his underwear in the hand basin and clipped his toenails in the bidet. He let her have what money he could, but it wasn't much. Clan Wolf now possessed all the old Campbell assets, bad cess to the bastards. She'd been selling what personal jewelry she'd been wearing on the day, piece by piece, to keep her head above water, but it was nearly all gone now. She hadn't got much for them. She was limited in where she could go. Old friends didn't want to know her, and businesses were afraid to make enemies of those in society who openly gloated over Adrienne's downfall. It appeared her big mouth had offended practically everyone at one time or another. Hell with them if they couldn't take a joke. If she were to work with the Shrek and betray Finley, he'd probably let her name her own price. She could be rich again and part of society, and laugh in the faces of all those who'd ostracized her. There was a knock at the door, and she spun around sharply, face flushed as though she'd been caught doing something wrong. She made herself breathe steadily and glared at the door. Two callers in one day. She was getting popular. She forced her voice to be calm, even as she asked who it was, and then tensed again as Robert Campbell identified himself. He made it clear right from the beginning that he wouldn't be visiting her often. There was a limit to how much he could be seen helping her. He had his career to think of, and his own safety. Adrienne understood. If he was here now, it must be important. She flushed again. He couldn't know about the Shrek's offer already. He couldn't. She made herself open the door, and Robert came breezing in, wearing full fleet uniform with a kit bag over his shoulder. He nodded and smiled at her, dropped the kit bag on the floor, and looked around his apartment.
"Just a flying visit, I'm afraid, Adrienne. My orders came through this morning. I've been posted to one of the new E-class ships, the Endurance. Massive bloody craft with twice the usual weaponry, as well as the new star drive. She takes off tomorrow. 2 weeks of tests and shakedowns, and then we're off to patrol the rim for 6 months. Which means not only will I not be able to protect you anymore, but the fleet is going to want these quarters back for someone else. Sorry to spring this on you, but I wasn't given any warning myself. I've got some friends here in the city who'll try and look out for you, but I can't speak for their loyalty if anyone starts putting the pressure on."
"I understand."
And Adrienne did. The Shrek's contacts in the military were already at work, arranging things, removing her options one by one, till she had no one left to turn to but Gregor Shrek.
"There is someone who might be prepared to help you, but you're really not going to like it. Evangeline Shrek. She was and is Finley's love, but she's a good sort for a Shrek. She'll do anything for Finley, even protect you. Go and see her, Addy. You might find you have more in common than you think. Now, I've got to go. They're expecting me on the Endurance. I'll try and keep in touch. Goodbye. Good luck."
He grabbed up his kit bag, pecked her quickly on the cheek, and left, closing the door quietly behind him. Adrienne scowled, her hands clenched into fists at her sides. She'd always known her residence here was only temporary, but it still came as something of a shock to be thrown to the shark so suddenly. The question was, did Evangeline know about her father's plans for Finley? Was she, perhaps unwittingly, a part of them? If so, and Adrienne warned her, that would put Evangeline in her debt. Adrienne nodded, smiling coldly. She always felt more comfortable when dealing with people from a position of power. She would go and see Evangeline Shrek, if only so she could hear about a side of Finley she'd never known herself. Evangeline Shrek stood before the single great window in her apartment in Tower Shrek, looking out at the world beyond, a prisoner in her own home. The door wasn't locked, of course, nothing as obvious as that. But if she were to try and leave the tower without getting her father's permission first, polite guards would calmly but firmly insist that she return to her apartment while they waited for instructions from the Shrek. And they'd walk back with her just to make sure she didn't get lost along the way. The Shrek wanted her going outside as little as possible. Officially, he was concerned that the Empress might try and seize her to become one of her maids, a mentally conditioned slave with no will of her own. Lionstone had already done it once with the Shrek's niece. No one had done anything. No one had said anything. No one dared. Not even the Shrek.